Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
My name is Vicki Delgado. This is January the 18th, 2026, and I'm going to be telling you about some of my experiences of UFOs. The first one was probably about in the 1956. I went with my father to a place, the Masonic Lodge in Kansas City, Missouri. I was only about 7 years old. We was there. We walked in. This building was huge. Of course, it looked huge to me because I was small and this was very large. And it was very quiet. There was a lot of men there dressed in suits. My father had a suit on too. There was all these fold-out chairs and there was a whole group of us sitting. And I was the only child there. And they started talking about UFOs. And then they had this screen that they pulled down so they could show us a film. And it was a very short film. Some of it there was some talking, but not much talking. Some of it was in black and white, and some of it was in color. And there was a man and a couple of men they was talking about. They had seen a UFO. But the one I remember the most was one in color. It was this woman. She was outside and she was hanging up laundry on a line. And she was talking about how she had seen a UFO and it frightened her quite a bit. And then it very quickly at the end of it, it showed a picture of a UFO in a blue sky with no clouds. And it was just kind of a yellow-white light glowing in the sky. And that was the end of it. And then they had like a discussion and everybody was very serious and they talked about it and that was the end of the meeting. My next encounter, it was around 1957. I lived in Kansas City, Missouri. I was on Cleveland Street. I was about 8 years old. I was walking up the sidewalk from my house. And I usually walked up there back and forth sometimes to the grocery store, but I was walking up there. I got about two or three houses away from where my house was. Then everything kind of, I kind of was slowing walking, and then everything kind of turned white all around me. Everything was very white. It was warm outside. There was no clouds in the sky or anything. It was blue sky. And everything just turned kind of white around me. And I stood there, and it was very quiet. And all of a sudden, I just saw this child look like it was standing in front of me. And there hadn't been anybody on the street or anybody around at all. And everything, like I said, was very white. And I couldn't see anything else but this child. And this child said, would you like to play? Do you want to play? And I said, yes. And so then this child held their hand up. It was like the palm up. I just saw the hand of the palm up. And there was something that they had holding in the palm of his hand. I said he, but I don't know if it was a boy or girl. I just know it was a child. I think it was male, though, but I'm not sure. Anyway, so he said it was the thing that he was holding in the palm of his hand was square and black and very porous. Looking. He said, the child said, move it. So I took my hand. I was going to pick it up to move it. And the child said, no, don't touch it. Move it. And then I said, well, how can I move it if I don't touch it? And the child said, think about it. So I started thinking about it, trying to move it by thinking about it, but nothing happened. And in the meantime, it seemed like I was getting hot, very, very hot. And I felt like there was perspiration, sweat starting to run down the side of my face. And I remember getting very sleepy. I couldn't hardly even keep my eyes open. I was just getting very sleepy. And then that was it. And all of a sudden, I was looking around again, and the sky was blue, and I was standing there, and there was nothing else around, and so I just turned around and walked back and went home and into my house. And that was the end of it. The next memory that I have about it was about in 1997. And that is when we took a trip to Roswell. We made several trips to Roswell because that was always a place we liked to go to. When we was going to the Southwest, we would always stop there. And my husband would take us. And we went to Roswell. And while we was there, there was a UFO museum. And we would always stop in there. And we had stopped in there. And so then we was into the parking lot. And we ran into this man that I recognized, and he was the mortician that I had seen before about the incident that happened at Roswell with the UFO. And he was the mortician. He told us about, well, I knew the story about what he said, that there was, that he had went to up, they had called him about, ask him if he had any caskets that were child size. And at the time he said he didn't really have any. I think he said they needed four of them. And so he said, well, so then they asked if there was any way that I knew that they could preserve bodies. So he told him about what he had, and he didn't know if that would really help or not. Also, so then he said while he was there, he ran into a nurse that he had seen there before that had worked there. And she acted like very upset and everything. And he was talking, going to talk to her and ask her what was the matter. And she said she couldn't talk, you know, and she would get back with him later if she could. And then there was a soldier that came up to him and said, told him that he needed to leave right now. So he had to leave. Anyhow, later on, the nurse got in contact with him, and they met at a restaurant. And in the restaurant, there was napkins or something there, and she drew a picture of something that she had seen. It was a picture of a hand, and the hand on the end of it had little tiny suction things that looked kind of like a suction, very, very tiny, very, very small. And she had told him that she had seen something that was not human. And everybody was very upset. And there was a lot going on there. And she said it frightened her very much. And she said it smelled really bad. And people were getting sick at their stomach. And she had seen that. And it upset her a lot. And she was telling him that she wasn't going to be any longer at the Air Force Base working there as a nurse. She had been transferred. But she was trying to tell him more, but she said she got very upset, and he said she didn't even finish eating her lunch, and she just got up and left. Anyhow, we was talking to him in the parking lot, and he said he told us everything that she said. He believed her, that she didn't have any reason to lie to him or to make up anything, and that he believed her about the story about that she told about the alien. And that was the end of that encounter. The next encounter was about 2005. We went to Roswell again, and we was getting ready to look around in Roswell, but we got there late, so we stayed in a motel. And the next day we was going to get out and walk around and look and probably go to the museum again like we always did when we went there. Anyhow, that night, though, I had a dream. I had a dream that I was in the bed, and all of a sudden, there was this wind that was swirling around me. There was no noise. There was no noise at all. It was just wind. It was swirling and swirling and swirling around me. But the odd thing was that there was all these dead leaves in the wind that was swirling around me, and I was inside. I was in the bed, as far as I knew, and I don't know. The leaves was something. It was just odd, and they kept swirling and swirling around me, and then all of a sudden, that was it, and I woke up the next morning. I really didn't think too much more about it, but I had went into the bathroom, and I noticed that there was some blood that had was on the side of my face, some drops of blood, and I turned, and it had come from my ear. And I thought, well, maybe I scratched my ear or something. But anyhow, my sister had come in, and I asked her if she saw anything, and she said, no, she didn't see any scratch or anything at all. So it was just a very odd incident that happened, and I never really understood if that had anything to do with the dream or what had all happened, but that was all that came about that. The last time, it was about 2009, I was walking down the street. It was a sunny day. There wasn't any clouds in the sky. I was walking down the street to my mother's house. My mother's house was about four houses down the street. And I was walking down the street, and I had almost got to her house, and I just kind of turned around to look around, and I looked up at the sky across the street, and there was this object in the sky. It wasn't moving. It was standing still. There wasn't any noise. It was lower than airplanes, than an airplane would be, and it looked like it was about five blocks away. And it was just kind of a, it looked like a something. There was something there. It was shaped kind of like a flat, kind of long thing, but it kind of rounded a little. The color of it looked like melted butter. It looked like that was the kind of yellow, white, but more the yellow, and with kind of a glow like it was hot. I remember it making me think of like yellow butter. And I thought, what is that? I was just surprised all of a sudden. You just think, no, what is that? What? And so then I went ahead and went into my mother's house. I stayed in there about 20 minutes. And I thought, well, so when I came back out, I thought I'd look again real quick and see if there was, but there was nothing there. There was nothing. And I never did hear a sound or anything. And that was the last experience I had so far.
Person, I'm in Raymore, Missouri. This happened in about 1975 in Ruskin, but it really happened in Belton. I was, first time I saw a UFO, I was on my way to work at an A&P store in Belton. I also worked in the Lee Summit store and the one in Ruskin, but I was in Belton at this time. I had just about ready to turn into the parking lot when I noticed that there was no cars on the street. And it was very, very hot. It was sultry. It was like, almost like it was getting ready to storm. It was very, very humid. And I know I had my air on, but I couldn't feel any heat or anything. And then all of a sudden, I saw this light coming at me. It was so bright. I just put my foot on the brake. I was afraid I would be hit, but there was no cars on the street. And it just kept coming real fast. And then all of a sudden, it just stopped. It was so bright, I couldn't even hardly look at it. I put my head down for a couple of minutes, and I looked back up, and I saw this bright, like, light thing. It was gold white, and it looked like it kind of opened up in the middle of it, and it looked like there was two beings or people sitting down. I don't know if they were standing or sitting, but they looked like they were sitting down. And it was just above my car. It was almost like it could almost touch my car. And it was like, it was a standoff because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether to go forward. I didn't know whether to go backward. I didn't know what to do. And it just kept standing there. And I kept shutting my eyes. I kept thinking, just leave, leave, leave. Finally, all of a sudden, it just moved up a little bit. And then I kind of put my head out the window, and it was just gone, straight up. And I was almost shocked. I guess I was in shock. I don't know. But by the time I got home, I told my mother what had happened. And she said, well, I've got something to tell you. And she worked for Richards Grabar Air Force Base. She worked as a freight rate specialist there. And she worked for a man called Mr. Fred. And she had a friend there that was Doris Green, and Jerry was her supervisor. And she said that that day, around that time, it was about 1 or 1:30, maybe a little later, that they had got a call or something, and they sent a jet up in space because they had seen a UFO. And they had had all the civilians go down into a bunker. And she was late coming home that day, and I couldn't figure out why, but they had to sign a waiver saying that they was down there and what had happened. So I know it happened. That was the first time. The second time, I was going to my sister's house in Ruskin. She was about four houses up the street from me, and it was a hot day. It was probably still around in the 70s. And I was just walking up the street, and all of a sudden there was just a, it looked like a craft right up above her house, almost like it could sit on her, her roof. It was so low. And it was the same thing. It was kind of a white gold color, real shiny, real bright, hot, looked like hot heat from it. And didn't make any noise at all. And so I ran up there as quick as I could, or walked as quick as I could up there. And by the time I got in there to tell her and for her to come out, it was gone. And the third time, Vicky and Arthur were getting ready to go to Mexico. And they had just bought a camper. And they came down, it was about 12 o'clock or 1. They was getting ready to leave. And I asked her why so late. And she goes, well, we already have a camper. We have everything. And Arthur can just keep driving, so that we're going to leave late. So we was talking and everything. And I kind of looked outside. And right across the street from us, there was a lady, Cindy. This thing was, this UFO was right up above her house. Like it was just sitting there watching. You know, it wasn't moving. It wasn't hovering or anything. It was just like stationary. And it was huge. And by the time I yelled at everybody to come to see it, of course, it was gone. And then the fourth time, it was late at night. And I had seen, we had had like a helicopter before looking for people and at night and stuff. But this was a different light. This light came up from way up high, and it was shown right down in my bedroom. And it was very scary because I looked outside and there was no helicopter flying. There was no police cars. There was nothing like that, like they were looking for anybody. And it just stayed there and stayed there. And finally, I went to bed. And when I woke up the next day, my head was down where my feet would have been, and I was like turned upside down. And I got up and I was achy all over. I remember real tired, and I went into the bathroom and my back kind of hurt me, and I looked in the back and there was kind of a scratch on my back. And I just thought, well, maybe I scratched myself, and I didn't think too much more of it, and that was about it on that one. And then the last one, well, almost to the last one, was the, it was, I woke up, I don't remember what day it was, it had to have been like a Saturday, because I know I didn't have to go to work, and I got up late, and I noticed there was like a big, something under my skin by my nose, and it bothered me, and then I looked, my mother got up, and she had the same thing, the same knot on her side of the nose too, and then the lady next door to us, Becky Barreras, she had the same thing on her nose. And we just all woke up with it. We, you know, nobody knew where it came from or how it got it there, nothing. It was there. And then the very last one is I kept having this flash, like a flash of a dream. Every once in a while, I keep having this dream that I was walking in this corridor and it was underground. And there was water everywhere, like on rocks. It was slippery, but it was cool. It felt like I was walking underground and by rocks or something. And I kept hearing these people telling me, I couldn't see them. All I could do was hear them, that I had to keep pushing this red button. I was the one that had to push the red button, and I kept saying, why do I need to press this button? What's the button for? Why do I need to do that? And nobody would tell me anything. They kept telling me I had to keep pressing this button. And then I woke up, and I don't remember anything other than that.